preach messages that I put out on the internet. And yours, I don't put a lot of explanation on it. It's the same message. Because you understand a lot of this already. Maybe all of it. But there are a lot of people out there that we've been teaching the Word of God here so long, myself and Leonard and Kenneth and Chuck and others, and that you all are pretty well educated in the Bible, and consequently we've become a lot better, had more knowledge than we did a year ago. So this is the same kind of thing I'm putting out on the internet, and I'm doing it for this reason. We're getting a lot of people overseas now that are hitting this, and we're getting people that are trying to hack in on it. I had a hack attempt this morning, and I shut the thing down immediately. People that don't like the Lord or don't like the internet or anything we put out. And I started putting out what we believe about the Lord, about the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. Got a lot of response to that. It was all good. I was kind of surprised. But the reason I'm doing it, and I wanted the church to know it, just so you'll understand why it's so important, and I'm sure you understand already, but I want to make sure everybody understands this. Right now, I could keep on just teaching prophecy and blowing up the world and finding new things in prophecy that I hadn't taught before, and I could keep on doing that for all eternity. Well, I couldn't do it for all eternity, but until the Lord came. But right now, what people need to hear is something that will make them stop and think and realize that the time is short, and that in addition to being short, they need to do something about it. I feel very sad about this generation, because a lot of people, they don't want to hear this. And certainly I want the Lord to come soon. There's no question about that. I want to go home to be with Imogene, but I don't know exactly how long it's going to be till the Lord comes and all this stuff begins. But I know it's coming. So I'm trying to put things in here, slide in a little prophecy, things you already know, that they'll understand, and explain it to them as I go through and put in little notes and everything. But for you, I'm just feeding it to you line by line, verse by verse, because when I was in school, we gave poor old Brother Baldwin a hard time. He was an old man. We did imitations of him all the time, of which I'm now ashamed. He was the one that always sucked through his teeth. And he told us over and over again, he said, "Now, fellas," he said, "listen," he said, "what I want you to do," he taught ministerial practice, he taught harmonizing the Gospels. He said, "What I want you to do, when you leave here and go out and pastor churches," he said, "I want you to teach people about the remnant." And so when I came up here, I did that, and I preached a lot about the remnant at first and put it in my tape series and everything. Brother Baldwin's dead now. But I think people need to know about that. So this is one of the things that I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to talk about it tonight. And one of the nice things about it is I can just stop right in the middle of this and pick up again next Wednesday. But I think it's very important for people to realize that God always brings a remnant through their tribulation. And I don't mean just tribulation period. Naturally, he's going to bring a remnant through that. He's going to bring them into the millennial reign. But I doubt if after there's the end of the millennial reign, where the devil comes along and is in the pit for 1,000 years, I doubt if there'll be any remnants in the final heaven age. But I think there'll be a remnant he'll pull out of the millennial reign, people that will be saved there, and they will be at the judgment seat of the great judgment seat of God. And they'll be there, and they will be judged not for hell, but for how well they perceived and accepted Christ during the millennial reign. So I think right up the last remnant will be brought out of the millennial reign. But we're now about to leave this earth and go to heaven to be judged and return. And I don't think it's a long way off. I think that I'm perfectly justified and God does not bother me one bit. He has bothered me at times in the past for being more specific than I should have been. But I believe that I can say it with all honesty from the heart, and I don't think God minds it one little bit. It is drawing nigh. And so if there ever was a time that people ought to be hearing this, it's now. So I'm going to talk about this subject and about some things that have been very helpful to me. If you want to know what this nation is like, look at the right now. Just look in the third chapter of 2 Timothy and it'll tell you. It's in bad, bad, bad shape. But in the Old Testament, the prophets told them over and over again that these things were coming, and some listened and some didn't. And it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm hoping that there will be some people out there who will actually come to repentance because of God's word. That's the responsibility and job of this church to, in our way that we believe the Bible teaches evangelism, particularly in this last days, to spread it to people and to let people know that the time is growing short. And whatever they're going to do with the Lord, about the Lord, or for Him, they better get at it. So this is the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah. Uzziah was the king that had the great earthquake during the time he was king of Israel. And some of the things in here do apply to the northern kingdom. But this is primarily the southern kingdom. It's written to them. And what at the time it was written, what's happening is the Assyrians have come across and conquered all of Lebanon and some sections of northern Israel. And then they have had a new king. The old king was killed in the war. They had a new king, he called himself Sargon the Magnificent. And he was killed after the Battle of Samaria, which was the capital of Samaria. And then, as they headed down towards Jerusalem, Sennacherib became king. And then he came on down and tried to conquer the city of Jerusalem. And this is being written to the southern kingdom to let them know what just happened to Israel can happen to you. And this sort of thing, always God warned them. And He's warning them intensely right now. And our job is to try, and our responsibility is to try to let God be seen in us, in our conduct, our actions, the things we do, the things we say, and to let people know, not pushing them, but how much you love God and how much He's done for you. I know that's the thing that I remember most about the people in my life that were in the churches I was in. There were always, I'd like to call it a remnant in there, that were very nice and very kind and very gentle. And so it's very important for us when we're together and when we're apart and wherever we are to try and remember that and do what God says. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, Now, when he says he has nourished and brought up children, the natural inclination here, as Isaiah writes, for nourished means fed them food. Well, I don't doubt that that has a proper place in understanding this, but I believe he's talking about spiritually. I believe he's feeding them spiritual food here. But because I'm pretty certain of that, but I assume it would always and should include feeding them the proper foods and trying to maintain such a diet that they would live happily ever after on the earth. But I take that primarily that God has fed them spiritual food, and I think that's the main emphasis, and brought up children, raised children. This generation is hard to raise because, and it's not altogether the children's fault. It's the parents' fault and the grandparents' fault that sometimes they didn't concentrate enough on spiritually feeding the children and setting an example for them. I know in my early time with Imogene, I didn't do a lot of that. Oh, I took them to church and I taught a Sunday school class, but I could have done more. And they have rebelled against me. Every time before something terrible happened, which resulted in God having to bring them through a period of tribulation in their life as a nation and in their individual lives as children he was raising, they rebelled against him. And I certainly was not somebody who didn't rebel against his parents. I didn't rebel much against my dad because he liked to kill me twice. He only spanked me twice, but believe me, I remember it to this day. And they say Mom switched my legs, but I could butter Mom up if I wanted to. I learned how to do that. But when it would get bad, she'd really let me have a good switching. He says, "The ox knoweth his owner." I remember when I was in the station over there, when I lived among the Arabs, to this day, they still put out in the field, they still put, if they've got their tents and everything set up, they'll put their certain types of their flock, they'll put them right near their tent right there. And I noticed that custom had been carried on because the Muslims do it. And I also noticed that when I was up in Romania, that the bell cow, I never knew what a bell cow was, that they'd put a bell on the smartest cow they had and train her to, when it was time for them to come home in the late evening, to bring them back. And that's when the cows came home. And I noticed on their houses on the side, they had little things built, pretty much larger than that. And they'd have stalls for their oxen and stalls for their sheep. And they were attached onto the house like you would attach on a garage. So they knew who fed them physical food, and they knew their owner. The reason that dog over there loves me so much, well, I can't tell you. I just noticed Terry's back there. The ox knows his owner, and the ass or donkey his master's crib. He knows who his master is. He feeds him. And he's dependent on him for food. And even a dumb ox, they say ox are dumb, judging by some of them I've seen in Africa, yeah, I think they are. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. You know a lot. I know quite a bit. But the reason is God revealed it to us from his word. And that's the most important thing in a church. The preaching and teaching of the word. not just the Roman road, but getting to know God, and in so doing, getting to know and understand yourself. He says, my people doth not consider. That's another thing. Some people come to church all the time, and they listen, but they don't consider what they've heard. Their reason for coming to church, and I speak by experience. I didn't come to church when I was young and I was just as saved as I am now. I didn't come to church because I liked it. I came because I was made to go to church. And so I listened. And I knew that Papa Mac would ask me when I got home what the preacher preached about. Why can't you trust a teenager? But I knew it was coming. So I would listen. And I would get the names of the characters he was talking about, but not when the preacher described what it meant. I think I was capable of understanding, but I just thought, who wants to know that? But later on in life, I became addicted to the Word of God and understand what a mistake I had made. And I've told my children that. They know that. Because I don't want to see them make the same mistake. He says, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. He says, nor do they know it. In other words, you can get a lot of head knowledge, but you have to apply it from the heart. And the heart is deep of all things. But God can change the heart. God can have tremendous influence on it. And by that, he has it on your soul. And your soul can learn not to listen to the devil. The soul can teach you to pray and ask God to help you. And God will. I guarantee he will. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backwards. That's one of the scriptures they use to teach about an assembly of God about being backslidden. They are gone away backwards. They've turned around. And a lot of people do. You can go and check the church rolls of Southern Baptist churches all over the United States, and you'll find people's name back there that have been buried for years. Might even find a couple on this one. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? He said, why should I beat you anymore? Why should I be stricken anymore? That, you know, in 11th chapter of Hebrews, it talks about padeo, patience, padeo. But one has only one in there called scourging. And that's an upgrade of padeo. It's an upgrade of just raising, providing for the child, teaching the child, spiritual food for the child, regular food for the child. It's just buying the child clothes. It's all these things. But if you neglect teaching the child spiritual things, I suspect you may have to answer for it in heaven. However, if you realize what you've done afterwards and repent, I don't think he'll punish you for it. But you've lost something that you could have had. And it was waiting for you there, a way of an inheritance. I think if you respond to his teaching and admit to yourself and to him, you're sorry, and it's from the heart. And he uses the soul, and he saves and seals the soul, and the soul is responsible to listen and consider and to subdue the carnal nature. It's very important to learn to subdue it, and you can't do it. It's very important to turn to the Lord on every occasion, admit to him you were wrong. It may take a while, but it'll happen. He said, why should I beat you anymore? You will revolt more and more. Well, that's the way it is. I guess maybe after God beats you for a long time, I'm supposing, he may just say, okay, and you may be in worse trouble than you think. He says, the whole head is sick. This is where your thoughts originate. But those thoughts in your mind, you've got the Spirit of God in you. And God can change your mind. And He can change it as you study the Word. Because the Word makes you see that you're at fault. And when the Spirit works through the saved soul, that finally, he'll submit himself to God. And God will cure that sick head by teaching it spiritual things that it needs to hear. I'm talking about myself, but I'm also talking about all of you, because we were all born with the same kind of heart, and we all are in the same boat, and I've been guilty of all of this, and I'm sorry. And from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. There is nothing wrong, there's nothing worse in my whole life that I've ever experienced, including being lost. I was pretty happy when I was lost. I could fight off the Lord then. But from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have not been closed. I believe that describes what it's like to be out of fellowship with God. And I've been out of fellowship with God many times. And I don't want to do that anymore. So I finally become convinced that when the Lord said about the two rest, and then came along and said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you're out of fellowship with God, his yoke is not easy, nor is his burden light. And your carnal nature just kind of takes over. I know I've been through this many times. But as I've grown old, I finally understood something about that. You think of the two verses above it. You've heard them preached enough. And he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I used to think about pastoring as being hard. I really did. I thought, you know, I didn't complain to God. I thought this is the way it's supposed to be. And I didn't complain to God because I thought that that pastoring was heavy. I was a man who was preaching and teaching God's Word, but it was a heavy burden on me. And it was a heavy yoke. It wasn't light. And I finally discovered something that's so simple, it's amazing. I didn't believe God. I just didn't believe Him. He made a flat statement there. So I began to wonder, why am I so much out of fellowship with God? And I found the answer. I didn't believe God. And I thought, how can this? I know it was true, but I said, what's the problem? And I said, well, it's got to be me. It's not God's problem. His burden is light, His yoke. I said, why do I think this is hard? Why do I think this is heavy? And I found the answer. I didn't believe God. I didn't realize I didn't believe God. But I finally came to realize that I made it that way. I made my yoke hard. I made my burden heavy. And for the first time in my life, in that moment of time, I came to realize that after I had preached to all of you all these years, 40 years, casting all your care upon Him, I hadn't done it myself. And I did. And I don't think it's going to change. Because anything comes up that's a problem, I turn it over to Him. I cast all my care upon him. He lets me know if I was at fault. And once I discover I was at fault, I confess it. But I got it relief when I finally realized what that meant. And it's something that I'm guilty of. And it's something that all human beings are guilty of. It's something we really need to think about. You know, Lamentations is a book that you very rarely hear preached. But my Bible fell open to this the other day. I was really going over to Jeremiah, and it fell open on chapter 3 in Lamentations. And I looked down and saw this, and it made me realize something. Lamentations 3, 22 through 26. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Our God is a fiery God. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I mean, God does spank his children. But what does he spank them for? If he does something to hurt the church, it's his body. And he does spank. Paideo has more than just trying to raise us and feed us and spiritually, and that's his main purpose. But it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I should have been killed many times in my 40 years here, but his mercies and compassions, they didn't fail. And he didn't kill me, and I appreciate that from him very much. Says they are new every morning. You know, how does that go in the sixth chapter of... He says, seek ye... Oh, I can't remember it. But I thought of that verse too, but I can't think of it now. I guess God doesn't want me to go over on my preaching. He says, they are new every morning. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it's every morning. He says, sufficient of the day is the evil thereof. And then when I hit that thing, that scripture, I thought, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Sometimes I've carried that wrath with me for a long time. Not anymore. If I'll just understand that seeking the kingdom of God is not letting the sun go down on your wrath, because sufficient of the day is the evil thereof, I'd like to get every morning with a fresh start. So I try not to do that. And I hope I'm successful in the future. I really haven't been in the past. He says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Well, that is one thing as you grow older. How many times did you hear Sister Barnes, and how many times did we hear the mouth of the South say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. How many times I've heard people that were dying say that? And it wasn't something that was, it was from the heart. They had lived their lives. They had tried to do what God wanted. And they just wanted to go home. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Your carnal nature does not seek him. My carnal nature does not seek him. Jesus Christ didn't have a carnal nature, and he sought God continually because he was God. And he prayed to the Father's office, which was God, and he sent his own spirit back, which was God, to the earth. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. He turned around to the first two disciples he picked, and he said, what seekest thou? They had already been told, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, by John. Immediately they head on over there. That's what they were seeking, and he knew it, and they found him. And he said, come and see. That's what I ought to do every day. I do. But if God doesn't guide me, what good does it do me? And so I've turned into a way that I pray every morning God will give me, and every night, that God will give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. And that God will help me not to let the sun go down on my wrath. I've caused problems in the church off and on for 40 years. But I'm ignorant. I honestly didn't know I was doing it. But I'm sure none of you all have ever done that. Most of you have. I don't know. I'm not your judge. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I wish I wasn't a loudmouth extrovert. I became one. And this is one time I won't criticize myself. I had to. When I went in the military, I had to. I had to become a loudmouth extrovert. And I changed. And when I went into the ministry, I'm still a loudmouth expert. But I was an introvert long before I was ever a loudmouth extrovert. And so I can talk quietly and gently and easily, and I can love people, and I do love people, and I love God. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm not a conqueror. Jesus is. God, if you will, is. And he conquered and set me free. And he conquers if I turn all my cares over to him. Because if I do, he always lets me know, thou art the man. That's why I love David so much. And that's one of the reasons I love God so much. God still loved him. And God still loves us through everything we face. This was an expression that Paul used. He used it several times. For I am persuaded, Paul said, that I may know him. So guess who persuaded him? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, and then he put this in there just to make sure he covered everything, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When I get a fellowship with God, it doesn't take me very long. It used to take a long time, but it doesn't take me very long. And pretty soon, I come to him, and I thank him for loving me and asking him to help me to love others like I love him. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel. This is the remnant. I'm not worried about the tribulation period. You got a world full of people out there that are scared to death that there might be a God. And that's why they're so fanatical in trying to say he doesn't exist. They're trying to persuade themselves. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. That settles it. You say, well, what if you die? If I perish, I perish. It's amazing how you can take parts of what God said over here and parts of them over here and put them together, and you've studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And it's supposed to be the word that we put it on. The seminary taught me, I'm sure they had good hearts, but they taught me head knowledge, and I thank God for it. He meant for me to go there because I needed head knowledge. I needed to find out some things that the missionary Baptist had taught me that weren't right. And you say, now you've got it all together. No. I'm still learning what's right. And it's something that is supposed to, that's the conversion. Learning what's right, and that's virtue. Doing what's right. And who's going to teach me? Right in here, my heart. And God is the one that teaches us from the heart. It is a burning inside us. It does. Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of a sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now when this happens, he says, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Why does it say that if he had not, see how the scriptures go together? If he had not, all flesh would have been saved. But I sure wouldn't want to be here in the vials of wrath. And I thank God for that promise that he gives me, that I won't be here in the vials of wrath. Because a short work will he, Lord, make on the earth. I think that means what he says when he says, except those days had been shortened, all flesh would be destroyed. I assume he's talking about the lost, but I would say that, I'm not going to say anything else. I'm sure that applies to the lost, but it may apply to the others also. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have been as Sodomah and been made like unto Gomorrah. Now, you notice he didn't put the actual account of the flood in there. He did over in Luke 17. He did put the account of flood in there. But here, what does he do? He picks out something that they'll all understand and we'll understand. That was the flood in Noah's day. This one's going to be with fire. And so people tend to fear fire more than water. They think they can swim out of the water, but not if it's over their heads and there's no land for them to get to. He said, except the Lord of Sabaoth hath left us a seed, he should have been as Sodomah and been made like unto Gomorrah. There's something about that 29th verse I'll show you one day that's interesting. But for now, I just want to finish this and let you get out on time. Romans 11, 25 through 26. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now the Jews can still be saved, because he still saves both Jew and Gentile. And that those two words compose everybody on this earth. I had one man who was down in Louisiana who wrote a book saying that Gentiles didn't necessarily mean black people. And that's how much some people can get turned around. And this man wrote a book, and he approached me on it and asked me what I thought. And back then, I wasn't a young man. I wanted to invite him outside. I said, you out of your mind. And he said, nope. He said, then another one down in Louisiana told me they came from apes. And they were church members. How in heaven's name can you twist that around your own belief? Listen, I don't want to twist the Bible. When I came up here, sometimes maybe in my messages, I'd say, well, I don't know which way it goes. And, you know, I like this. And I'd just preach it, and I wouldn't tell them it could be the other way. You say, preachers don't do that. You don't know preachers. There shall come out of Zion the deliverance, shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. That's what you do every day. That's what people do every day, one or the other of these, some all of it. But the same day, on the same day, I mean, this wasn't something that just said, got a long warning and a siren went off. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. All of them. All of them in Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed except Lot and his two daughters. And his wife became a pillar of salt. This is so plain, you don't need a seminary education to figure this one out. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. I have learned more from God than I learned in all the academic places I went, including the Missionary Baptist Seminary. God has taught me about these things, and I have seen what God wants the people to do. God wants the people to take His word, and God wants them to understand what He said in the way He said it, and that's quite possible. It's absolutely assured. If your heart is right with God and you're doing it for the right purpose, when you do it and when you prepare it, He will actually give you a kind of understanding inside, this is right. And if you can't say in your heart, this is right, don't preach it. I do say teach you sometimes some things, and I'll say, now look, this is what I think. This is not what I know. But I don't try to force the word. I've learned that there's a price for that to pay at the judgment seat. This is the one thing that can cause you to lose part of your inheritance. And I pray for all my brothers and sisters in Christ in all Missionary Baptist churches that they would start teaching the truth about a lot of things, but that's all I can do. Genesis 19:23-29. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. The evidence is over there. But I don't need the evidence. It's true that in my early ministry, I wanted to know what these things meant. And I prayed about it, and I know that God's going to do the destroying Himself. To what extent? Well, so a lot of people are going to kill each other. But believe me, God knows which ones, and God knows why. So I'm going to try to teach people, pray for me, because I'm trying on that internet to teach people things that God wants. And if they want that other stuff about blowing on the world, it's in there. Everything I believe, and that's what I'm going to try to do. And I'm going to try to put the stuff that's going to happen to people in a tribulation period as a way to let. I can't help the Father. I can't help the Son. I can't help the Holy Spirit. There's no way I can do it. I don't want to do it. I can't do it. It's impossible. But I can let them lead me, and I can let them give me wisdom, understanding, and wisdom, and I can give me a burning heart, and I can preach this, but God gets all the glory, and God does it all by Himself. And that has helped me a great deal in life. And Leonard, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the interruption that you and I had. I'm sorry. But I just prayed for Cindy.